Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Coffee with Kim with your host, Kimberly Grieger, the founder of the Fellowship of Extraordinary Women and Pew International Publications. We're so glad you joined us this morning to listen to real friends talk about real lives and real obstacles women face. We promise to keep it real, but we usually always keep it funny. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and get ready for me, Heather Taylor, and your host, Kimberly Krieger.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. I don't know why that's funny, but
well, I was going to say happy hump day, but
yeah.
I don't even know what that's all about. Wednesday's the hump we have to get over. Is that what that's about?
Wow, really? Yeah. It's the mountain you have to climb. You're closer to Friday than you are to Monday once you hit Wednesday.
But
look
like,
at that, boys and girls. I'm teaching Kim something. Okay.
How did Wednesday get such a bad rap, you know?
I don't know. Wednesday's usually, no, I think hump day is like a, yes, it's finally closer to Friday.
Well, why does everybody live for the weekends? I'm just feeling very rhetorical today. Why are we living Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for Friday and Saturday? We're wasting 5/7 of our lives.
Wow. Well, there you go. That is a great question. I know. You know what's funny? I don't think most women do, because usually Monday through Friday is when we have like those 8 free hours of nobody following us to the bathroom and nobody going, mommy, 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 or he touched me, or he's pointing at me. Or you have a kid sticking their finger in the child's face, but not touching them, saying, I'm not touching you. So I think women prefer Monday through Friday.
Amen. Okay.
Amen.
So men are the originators of TGIF.
That would be my guess, yeah.
Okay. We'll talk to you guys about that some other show. I mean, we've got much, much more important things to talk about today. But,
after she's
you know,
brought it
moral
up.
Of the story, yeah, right? I know, I'm all over it. But, like, don't live for another day this week. Live today to the fullest, you know?
I live for every second Wednesday and fourth Wednesday of the month.
You live for that? That is such a lie.
Well, I mean, I go through my whole nerve thing, but once we get on, I'm really excited. You know why? Because it's an hour before the show. I have to hang out with you and we do the FaceTime. So it's like hanging with your best friend for an hour, because it's the only time I see you.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not the only time you see me.
Well, for the past 2 years, 3 years, I guess it's a new year. Yeah, past 3 years, I see you quite often. Maybe sometimes a little more than I want. I don't know.
Well, I will keep that in mind next time you invite me to Florida. I'll ask you if you need to temper these visits a little bit.
Well, you haven't been to Florida since July or August.
Yeah, it was August. And I was just thinking about that the other day when we came to visit you in August. I don't know why I thought of this, but my children, your hospitality is incredible, by the way. And you let my children drink your paid-for water bottles, which I stopped doing eons ago. And there were like 17 half-drink water bottles on your kitchen counter that I collected from our own. What?
I've never seen someone get so mad about water bottles. She lined them up and took pictures.
I was like, this is why I don't let my kids drink water bottles at home. I'm like, I can't even believe they're doing this at someone else's house on someone else's dime. Yeah, I was a little miffed. And you and Carrie were like, whatever, it's fine. And I'm like, kids, line up right now and drink every one of these bottles. I don't care if you're peeing all night.
Let me sprinkle some Zija in them so it's really worth your effort.
Oh, you are hilarious. Well, anyway, it's 2018, 2018.
Yes. It's a new
Can you believe that?
Year.
We're 2 years away from 2020.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Remember when we were kids and there'd be futuristic shows and they took place in 2020?
I remember reading 1984.
Going, oh, that'll happen.
And you've probably read it like 1986.
No, I'm a little bit older than that. Yeah, no, I agree, though. I think this year, for me, went by so fast. I can't, like, I feel like I turned my head and 3 months went by. And just everything happened so fast, so quick.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think, well, all in all, it was a good year.
Oh, yeah, we're going to hear about it today, soon.
You're going to hear about
meantime,
it. Huh?
Yeah, we're going to hear all about it. But speaking of last year whizzing by, so just a quick update for the listeners on my son's recovery. His accident was October 7th of last
wow.
year. And the last time we checked in with you guys, he had a second surgery. And
mm-hmm.
A lot has happened since then because we haven't hung out with you guys for, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. Now we had a little holiday break in there. And
yeah.
so he actually goes tomorrow to get his incision checked out. It was having some trouble. The skin wasn't healing and closing. So he was going into the doc once a week and getting new staples put in his neck while just sitting there in the chair with no anesthetic.
Oh,
yeah. The doctor would say, you got three choices. You know, I shoot you up with anesthetic and we sit here and wait. Then I staple you, or you just go check into the hospital right now. Or I just jam these staples in your neck. What's it going to be? And my son was like, just go for it.
Oh, yes. That sounds like your son. Oh.
I know.
Like, yeah,
then,
hospital stay sounds good. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's put that up.
they still give you a menu, right? Because that sounds fine. but anyway, so yeah, he's had that now, I think 3 times he went back and got more staples, some taken out. But the good news is he's out of his neck brace. The bones are completely healed.
Yes.
I mean, the broken neck was a little more serious than the skin not closing. So that's really, really, really awesome news. The
wow.
reason why they're concerned about the skin not closing, though, is because they're saying it's soggy and moist, and that may indicate infection. And so if it doesn't close, they have to go in and suck everything out and cut him open again, which I'm like, why would you cut him open when he's not healing this time?
Right. I know. It doesn't make sense. But you got to go
yeah.
in there and get the infection from down deep.
Right.
Did you drainage tube in or anything like that?
They did. And here's the other thing. He's on IV antibiotics 3 times a day. So
I forgot about that. Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
And
wow.
You know, he just has like a PICC line in his upper arm, and then he has like syringes that he administers his own antibiotics 3 times a day. So he's probably not infected. It's just, there's all this extra fluid when your body's healing, and it's gravity is causing it to float down the long incision and come out where the weakest link is, keeping that link weak. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But here's the deal. He can drive, like he can look around. He's
unbelievable.
Yeah, he's released from his weight limit, so he can pick up his 2-year-old.
I know that was the hardest. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he's just so relieved. I texted with him yesterday, and he said, that he just feels so relieved and so encouraged. And, I'm just so proud of him because he's had to really press through. And, one little side note about our family and our holiday. So I chose a word of the year, and Miss Heather, you're going to talk about your word of the year today too. But I decided at our last family Sunday, which was just a few days ago, we celebrated 2 birthdays, and I told everybody with no warning, not, with a moment's notice, hey, everybody has to pick a word for 2018.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, and this word should somehow represent what you want to accomplish or like something that's really, really important to you. Ask God what your word is. You know, and so I'm like, okay, what's your word? And they're like, wow, Mom, can we have
this is
fun?
What she does to me on a daily basis, by the way. I just want to point that out. In her mind, this is encouraging.
No pressure, not annoying, just encouraging. So I said, okay,
but it is good. It is good. Yeah, because that way they're saying the first thing that comes to their mind.
Yes, in that way, you know, it's good. But I also want them to be able to, you know, really hear from God. And so some of them were like, give me a few minutes, come back to me. And there were enough people in the room that somebody had something to say. That's never a problem in our house. So anyway, Jesse's word for 2018, if I could be so bold to share it, is persevere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was just wow. So great, because that's really what he's been doing. And he has this list of things he wants to be different next year. He knows it's going to take
God, yeah.
work. He knows it's not going to be easy. You know, he knows he has obstacles. And so he chose this word that is going to fuel him when things get hard. And, you know, life gets hard for everybody. So
I was write it
so
down.
Proud of them. You should hear
that's
the word.
That's a great word.
They're amazing.
Yeah. They're amazing.
Well, and you know what? For you, for the listeners, if you want to know what my family's words are, words of the year, mm-hmm. I would encourage you to go into our Coffee with Kim Facebook group and post and ask me what our words of the year are, what my family's words are, and whoever the first one is to do that wins a special Coffee with Kim mug with our mugs on it.
Yay, I love it.
A mug with
it,
our mugs. So, and I'd love to share the words with you because they're so inspiring. I probably won't tell you whose word is what because I don't have my kids' permission to totally out them.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but it's awesome. That's so great.
Yeah, and Scott had a word, and Nicholas was here, and my stepson, everybody was here except one of my sons didn't make it. So we have almost everybody's word, and the son that didn't give me a word, I'm having lunch with on Friday, and I'm going to have him choose his word. So by Friday, the 12th of January, we're all going to have our word that kind of summarizes our goals for 2018. So, Heather, I know that you have a word for 2018. Have you ever chosen a word of the year before, or was this your first time?
I don't think so. No, I didn't have any intention on choosing a word. I hadn't even heard about this whole word thing. It just kind of popped into my head.
Well, I actually always have had scriptures and promises from God for each year and that kind of thing. But I've never chosen one word. This is my first time choosing one word. And what I like about it is it simplifies your focus. You know, if the word is effective in kind of summing up where you know you're headed, then it only takes one word to get you back on track. That's what I like about it.
Yeah. I remember going to your house last year, and I know it wasn't your word, but it was a question or a statement, really, that you had, like, all over your house. You know, do you remember, you know what I'm talking about?
No, what was it?
I was just thinking of what it was when you said that. I was like, oh, this is easy.
That was easy,
yeah. And remember, that mean, but I think it's awesome how she would have like little stick-it notes on the sink and at her desk and in the bathroom and just all these weird, like, was taking a poop easy? I don't what was I didn't understand. And every time I asked her, she's like, oh yeah, I want to tell you about that, but she never told me. And then finally in a meeting or something it came out, but I'm like, oh, but it really does, it encourages you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we need so many reminders. Life is distracting. Human nature takes over. You know, my coach encouraged me to choose a word of the year. And just this morning, I got a text about getting out of your comfort zone. And I realized that human nature gravitates. It doesn't gravitate. It's magnetic force. Human nature is magnetically drawn to comfort.
Amen. When I was going over my thoughts for today, one of the things that just kept coming to me is Well, we have a joke. I call Kim a pita because she's a real pain in the butt, but puts an A where it is. So anyway, you know what I'm saying. But she pushes me so hard, and she's the only person in the world that somehow she doesn't ask. Hold on, I'm going to adjust my mic real quick. She doesn't ask me if I'll do it. She just kind of tells me that I'm doing it, and I say yes. And I mean, and God knew what he was doing when he put me in my life, because I need that. I need someone to constantly make me go outside of my comfort zone, because growing is, you know, when you're feeling those little growth pains or whatever the heck they're called.
Growing pains.
And yeah, growing pains, that means that you're actually growing. So if you don't have any pains, boys and girls, that means you're not doing anything.
Yes. Well, no pain, no gain, but that's not just a muscle workout saying. That is character and, you know, self-discipline and all these things that we need to grow as a person. If we're not having personal growing pains, we're not personally growing.
Exactly.
Well, so, Heather, your story is so much about growing pains and personal growth. I mean, it's so remarkable. I am beyond excited to have our listeners hear more. I guess it's really like a much more intimate look at your journey over the last couple of years. Like, we talk about things we've done together and growth we've experienced, but they've never really heard the story behind how did you end up right here, right now, really, you know, on Coffee with Kim Radio and doing what you're doing for God and all these different things. So but before we get to your story, I know I'm tormenting you guys. You just want to hear it. Get to that, can you tell our listeners just a little, like a summary of how we met? And I promise I'll try not to interrupt you when you exaggerate and lie.
Yeah. But she just lied right then, because when have you ever known Kim not to interrupt?
That's actually really funny and rude.
That's me. No, you know, I am actually, I've been really nervous to do this show because, as we all know, Kim told me I was a guest. She did not ask, as always.
You make me sound a little bit bossy.
Yeah, no, not you. But anyway, I was real nervous. But then today I started to get kind of excited because I did realize I kind of just showed up on the scene, and all of a sudden, here's Heather. So, how did we meet? I think anyone who's read the story knows that, you know, I won't go into all the details, but I was having a lot of difficulty in my life at a certain point, and God threw me into the frozen tundra, which was Wisconsin, and that was my husband, the company that he worked for. That's their idea of a joke. I don't know what to do. Okay. So anyway, we ended up moving to Wisconsin for a promotion for my husband. And then he threw me right next door to the one and only person that would talk to me. And she was a total nut. She was this absolutely crazy Jesus freak that I wanted nothing to do with. And she had six kids.
You hid that very well, by the way.
Yeah, I know, because I'm a Southerner. We stab people in the back really easy and smile. No.
And say, bless your heart while we're doing it.
So anyway, as all of you know, that was over 20 years ago now. And we actually pretty quickly became really good friends. And they became, because Terry and I had always lived near either my parents or his parents and family. So we had never been by ourselves. And then here we are, 1,700 miles away from our nearest relatives, alone. And, you know, Kim just kind of brought us in and then made her family take me in, whether they wanted to or not. And then before you know it, we're celebrating Christmases together, Thanksgivings, and just having fellowship with all these kids that, and side note, by the way, I have never been a person that, like, falls in love with other people's kids. I had my own. I didn't need anybody else's kids. Runny noses and dirty things. And for some reason, like, God just opened up my heart with Kim's kids. I just felt in love with him. My husband almost stole her youngest child at the time, Noah, because he was a baby boy and I had two girls. Oh,
Jonah.
I'm sorry, Jonah. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes. And anyway, so Terry almost stole him. We used to like beg her to let us babysit. We were so crazy. Do you remember that? Just let us have your six kids. You guys need some time.
Yes, you were crazy, but man, I did not mind.
Yeah, well, and it was sincere. She knew, you know, I just loved them. They were like, I don't know. It was so weird. Everything about our relationship was weird. And so anyway, that's how I met. She was my next door neighbor. And the funny thing is she was only my neighbor for 6 months. You know, because then you moved.
Sure? I couldn't remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah, and then she moved to Oconomowoc, and I might as well have moved with you because I like I was her neighbor over there too. I just drove a little further. Never got to know any of my neighbors. Didn't care to. I had all my whole entire group was revolved around Kim, and even after we moved back to Florida, she and her sister used to bring their families, and we would vacation at least once a year together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's how it began, the Kim Heather story.
Awesome. So, you know, something is interesting about that time when Heather met me. I was kind of in the, how do you say it? It was like when I was in my pit, in my wilderness, and, you know, and then fast forward all the way to, let's say, you know, 2015, 2016. Now I'm a coach and I'm doing all these different things. And so, you know, I said to Heather for her birthday, the gift I wanted to give her was a coaching session. I wanted her to sit down with me and set goals. And, you know, I was in a different position to be able to help her. And I just, you know, Heather and I argue about who's helped each other the most, because I've definitely said, no, you've done way more for me than I've done for you. She's like, no way. I'm like, yeah, uh-huh. And so I'm always feeling like, what else can I do to bless her? Because of such,
oh my God, she does
done to me. So I'm like, well, why don't I give you a coaching session for your birthday? So the coolest part was her husband flew me down to Florida. I was her birthday gift.
I asked for her for my birthday.
She asked for me for her birthday. What do you want for your birthday, Kim? Isn't that so cool? So he flew me down there and, you know, got us a hotel so we could be alone. We sound really weird at this point. But no, just so we could be.
No, understand. He gave us an entire. Yeah, it was great. Tell him what they. Yeah, exactly. It was an adult girl sleepover. But tell him what he did. And then I have to add something to the end of the story that'll kind of lead us into the story.
Okay. So he, you know, he knew that we needed some, you know, undistracted time. So he surprises Heather with this hotel receipt and gives her this huge gift bag. And I had a gift bag too. And there are snacks and drinks and all this garbage, like the kind of garbage you want at a slumber party, and matching pajamas. I had matching pajamas from her hubby, from Terry. It was so awesome.
Still wear them.
Yes, you do. When she flies up here, I'm like, did you bring your pajamas? She's like,
oh,
no.
I'm gonna buy us new pajamas.
Yeah, she's like, it's 1 degree up in here. I didn't bring the Florida pajamas, but anyway. So it was just this awesome time where we just got to hang out, and then the next morning, I'm like, okay, coaching session time.
I smoked back then. So I was probably leaving the room every 10 minutes to go get a cigarette. How annoying. You never even said anything. You're such a good friend.
It didn't bother me because you didn't do it around me.
I would never. I was always considerate as a smoker. But yeah. So one of the things I wanted to add to that, and I don't know if Kim even knows that I know this. Yeah, you do, because you had mentioned it later on. But during that time, one of the big reasons I wanted Kim is because, as a lot of you know, we have our relationship, but there was a time where we didn't speak to each other at all. We just lost complete touch. And then we, thank God for her car accident, we got brought together, however you want to say it. You guys know I'm not good with words. But anyway, and at that time, as always, I would just jotted this down, Kim, your worst times are always the best times for me. It's so bad. God uses her disasters to fill me up. It's so sad. But, you know, if you have to go through it, why not bring joy to someone is all I'm saying.
Right. Hey, it's my pleasure. No problem.
Yeah. So Kim and I had been like back in our relationship and, you know, growing strong, obviously. And I was having a real hard time when she came back into my life. She didn't know this and I hadn't really confided in her yet, but my life was kind of falling apart again, just like it was the first time I met her. And so my husband did all this, planned this little trip. And then as we were getting in the car, he pulled Kim aside and he said, Kim, please help her, because he knew I was desperate and I needed something. And he knew he couldn't do it. You know, he had been trying. And so he pulled her aside and said, you know, just please help her. And I just think that it's so awesome how once again, you know, everything else failed. So God called in the big wig. And my husband knew enough and had that much faith in her. And even I think God probably led it, you know, led him to it. But that was another time where Kim ended up saving my life.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. This story is not about me, you guys. Okay, moving right along. So tell
them
about.
That
yes, that's so amazing. The whole thing, like how God just had the timing and everything worked out and that I got hit by a car and was hospitalized like 40 minutes from where Heather lives, and we live 1,400 miles away. And
it's just so funny the way you said it. I got hit by a car.
Yeah, like God's like, okay, car, Kim, hospital, Heather. Okay, go. You know. So, tell our listeners what happened kind of in the hotel room with our coaching session and then beyond that. You know, the story is so amazingly cool about how you set goals and wrote them down, and you just shared a little bit about how you weren't in a good place. So can you kind of just summarize, like, how were you feeling going into this quote-unquote coaching session sleepover?
Okay.
Besides thrilled to be with me, besides that.
Oh, always thrilled. Well, let me, okay, so that's a good point. So just a little bit of a backstory is I think at about for 3 years at that point, had been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, which is nasty little, it's not just like regular arthritis. It's your body actually trying to kill itself. It's deteriorating your joints and your muscle, your fluid in there. So anyway, it had, and they had put me on all these different medications to help. And I was actually having a lot of help. But then when I moved to Tampa, I went to my rheumatologist here and he decided that it wasn't RA, that it was something called fibromyalgia, and he put me on this medicine. So I'm telling you that to keep in the back of your mind. I'm not going to get into that just yet. But one of the side effects of Lyrica is that it basically numbs your feelings. You're in a bubble, you know. So as much as I knew I wanted to be with Kim and I enjoyed being with Kim, I very seldom laughed or showed, you know, it just everything was kind of mundane. Even when you want, like in your head, you're like, this should be a lot more fun than it is type of thing, you know, and I wanted to sleep a lot and I just wasn't happy. And anyone who knows me knows that's not a good way for me to be. I need to be happy. I need laughter. So I was in a downward spiral, really, you know, and when Kim said she wanted to do this, I think part of me probably didn't want me to do it, but the deeper part of me knew I needed to do something. And that's when we did the chart. Do you want to tell them what the chart is?
Were you afraid to do that?
Yeah.
Chart? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm always afraid when I know that there's a feeling in me. It's so stupid, but it kind of goes along with what we're saying. It's like if I don't say it out loud, then it doesn't exist. You know, I can keep pushing it down. But once you speak it, you're like, oh, now I have to face it. That
yeah, now
thing.
It's out there. Well, we went through the six areas of, you know, six, some say there's seven, some six, but the goals laid out, I think we really did like five areas. We did health and wellness, spiritual, emotional,
financial.
Financial, and one other one.
Marriage.
relational. Yeah. Okay. And so we just, I asked you the questions and, you know, in the next 12 to 18 months, what would you like to accomplish in this area? And then from there you break it down. And so, you know, she's starting to say, identify, this is what I don't like. This is what I would change.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was really hard. I think I cried like every 5 seconds. It was, okay. So do you want me to talk about that now?
Well, yes, absolutely. You can tell us how, you know, you don't have to get into specifics unless you want to about what you wrote down that day or what you said that day. But, you know, in terms of saying it out loud and then writing it down, had you ever done that before where you said, this is what I want my life to look like, wrote it down, and even wrote down, what are some things you can do to accomplish that?
Right. Now, I'll be honest with you. I am not a person who believes in, like, you know, New Year's resolutions and all that. My whole theory is, like, a resolution is basically saying what I'm not going to accomplish because I wrote it down. So, but I am also a very big believer that a dream is just a dream until you write it down. Because once you write it down, it's tangible. It's something you can, you know, because I've started my own businesses a couple times, and that was always, you write down what your goals are. So I'm a believer in it, but as far as applying it to my personal self, you know, not a business, but to me, no, I'd never done it. And I think that's because I'm real competitive. And if I actually did it, I would have to do it. I'd have to finish because I'm obsessive that way.
So once you write it, you're locked in. That's kind of how you roll. Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I didn't know that when I offered to do this exercise. Yeah. And I mean, it's just so interesting that God put that on my heart to do for you, knowing how you're wired and how that would hit you, you know?
Yeah. Because I had never heard of this. I had no idea what she was doing to me, by the way, when she said, I can't wait to give you your birthday present. I'm like, oh, new pair of socks or something. And no, I'm going to do a personal evaluation. I'm like, that doesn't sound fun. That sounds miserable. But actually it was, I still say to this day, it was the best thing I've ever done because, I mean, we got into it. We got deep because it wasn't just, oh, I want to change this. It was, why do you want to change this? What is it doing? What can you do to improve it? Okay, so what steps are you going to take to improve it? And I mean, you know, it wasn't like a New Year's resolution. Oh, I'm going to lose weight. It was, I need to lose weight because I need to be in better health, because I love my family, because, you know what I'm saying? And then it was, so what are we going to do to start the steps? Instead of being discouraging, it was encouraging. You could go back and look and go, wow, of course I'm not there yet. I'm still not there yet, but I am definitely closer than I was. And that is what you need. That's what you need to do. Don't make a resolution. Oh my gosh, something just fell in my closet, but we'll excuse that. Just never happened, rewind. So yeah, you don't make a resolution. You make kind of a, I call it a hope chart now. Because I write it down and then I put it someplace where I can see it. So every time I see it, I want to be encouraged. And mm-hmm. I think I've even told myself I want to go back and visit that once a week so that I can see what steps I took. You know, even if it's, I want to pray every day and I go back, well, this week I only prayed 5 times. Yeah, but last week I only did 3. So yay. You know what I mean?
Right. Really... 3 is better than 0. Right?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's what this helped me learn how to do. You know, it doesn't have to be this huge, gigantic thing because I do get overwhelmed really easy when something's big, you know, but
most
the way
people
we broke
do.
It down.
Mm-hmm.
I think we broke it down into percentages, didn't we? Like this much of your life is, you know, you spend 10% on this and 6% on that, or... I don't
know. What we did is you rated how you felt about where you were at in each of these areas of your life. And then we talked about where do you want to be. So if you were a 3 in something and you realistically thought, I think I could get to a 7 if I work on this for a year. So, you know, there's a piece there too of reality. Like I'm not going to go from a 3 to a 10 probably in 12 months.
Exactly.
But I could go from a 3 to a 7, you know,
exactly.
And 7 is great compared
yes.
to a 3, right?
Absolutely.
So,
mind changing. The way you think about things, I swear to you, the way you perceive it is what makes the change. It can be the exact same thing, but it's how you comprehend it.
Yeah, there's a really great quote by Andy Andrews about what he calls perception, you know, and I'm just going to see if I can find it. Here it is. He says, perspective, that's what it's about. He said, perspective is the only thing that can dramatically change the results without changing any of the facts.
Amen.
Isn't that cool?
That's my life. Yes, right there.
Yep. And that morning, you know, and we had a couple follow-up phone calls too to wrap it up, you had a perspective shift.
Yes.
So let's get to the meat of this story. The best part, in my opinion, is what are some of the things that you wrote down and what happened after you wrote them down? In other words, did you accomplish them? You know, fill us in as to what happened, because, you know, it's what people don't understand is in coaching, it's really important to have a coach that has a clue, but the coach isn't the reason you succeed. The reason you succeed is because you take action on what you and the coach talked about, right?
Yeah, that is true. I mean, the coach is definitely an important part. Because I think they hold you accountable. And for someone like me, I need that. Maybe you don't, you know, our listeners, maybe you're a self-starter. Yeah, I do too.
I
even have a Bible study partner that we hold each other accountable, because otherwise, you know, it's easy to not do something if nobody's there watching you.
That's
and
right.
For me, yeah, well, I want, see how excited she gets when I get the answer right. Sorry. Okay. Side note. But anyway, yeah. So I needed my coach, and God knows that about me. And I think that's why he gives me Kim, because she just knows how to make me do stuff that other people just can't. Not even God. He's like, okay, I give up. I'm giving it to Kim.
That is hilarious. God is even like, forget it, Kim, you handle her.
Yeah,
I
like literally hit her with a lightning bolt and she's doing nothing. Kim, I'm passing this on to you.
That's like we've had 6 angel visitations, 7 lightning bolts, writing on the wall. I'm done. Kim, she's all yours.
Yeah, I'm going to go move some mountains because that'll be easier to get people to believe than. That's me in a nutshell. A little bit stubborn.
You are so funny. Well, all right. So tell us about this list of things that you accomplished. And the reason I want our listeners to know specifics is because, you know, when you just say, oh, I overcame a lot of obstacles, big deal, you know?
Yeah. So
what were they? We want to know, what were they? How hard were they? Were they only big obstacles in your opinion? We want to decide if they were big obstacles. So
I totally agree with that. And honestly, I'm going to tell you guys a secret. I downplay things a lot because I guess just in my life, a lot of kind of, we're always getting hit by something, and I'm not complaining. That's just we have a lot of people in our lives, so a lot of things happen. And, but Kim one time told me, she goes, you downplay everything that's ever happened to you. You just don't see anything, like everyone else has a bigger problem than you and this and that. And I think for me, that was a survival mechanism or something. But one day God told me, I want you to write a list of all these things that have happened to you. And I believe this list was specific to like maybe people that had hurt me or things that people had done to me. And I talked to Kim and I talked to my husband and I prayed, because I really felt like it wasn't God, because why does God want you to know the bad things? You know, we're supposed to move on. But honestly, what it ended up being was for me to see the things that I have overcome and realize that those are actual things, you know, they're not just little bumps. They were big things. So that I one day, and I believe that day is coming in 2018, can help someone else who's going through those hurdles, you know? And I think God just wanted me to realize, like, you are an overcomer. Stop thinking, oh, that person had it this way and that person had this big and I just had to, you know, God wanted me to see, not to praise myself or say, oh, yay, I'm great, but I have overcome. I do know how to do it, because in my mind, I didn't. And that's what's so great about what we're going to talk about now is I'm going to kind of walk you through it. But the biggest part about this is you can always go back and look and say, holy cow, I have accomplished stuff. You know, because a lot of times you do little tiny shifts to make the change. You don't even realize what you've done. But when you go back and take a year and you're like, oh, wow, look what I've done. And it was really cool. So anyway, okay, I'm going to give you a few of the specifics. The list was very long, so I'm not going to, it would take up the whole show if I went through, but I will tell you some of the big ones. Okay. One of the big ones, okay, and just so you know, my birthday is August 27th. So Kim and I got the hotel room on August 26th, and we actually went through the process on my birthday. So Kim made me cry all day on my birthday, is what it boils down to. So, and it was August of 2016, right? Wasn't it? Yeah. Okay. So, I was smoking at the time. I was a big smoker. I probably smoked a pack and a half to two packs a day. And, one of the things I hated was that I was addicted to this thing that made me leave my family and my friend, my girlfriend who flew in from Wisconsin to be with me. I probably left the hotel room every half an hour to go have a cigarette. And I hated the control that had on my life. It drove me crazy, but I had been smoking since I was 13 years old. So it was really, you know, it was an issue. So I wanted to quit smoking. I had severe mouth problems and I needed oral surgery really, really desperately, but I had put it off for 10 years. And, the stuff that was going on in my mouth was at the point now where it was dangerous. Like it was affecting my health. It actually caused some of the health problems that I have now because I was terrified. And it wasn't, you know, a lot of people, oh, I didn't have the money. I didn't have the insurance. I had all of that. I just was filled with fear. I was terrified. I would have rather let my teeth rot out than go to a dentist or a surgeon, you know. And then a couple of the other things, I do have chronic depression that I fight with. And I was really in a low place. I was in a very low place. My body was in total dismay. And I had gained like 50 pounds. No, I think 60 pounds. Wasn't it 60? I don't remember. I was a lot bigger than I had been in, you know, for years. My marriage was obviously hurting because I was, you know, hurting. And I had some relationships that I had continued, even though I knew they were toxic and dangerous, you know, for a lot of reasons, but I kept them, you know, a matter of fact, well, we'll dive into that later. So, and the biggest, as it turns out, the most important thing was my relationship with God was destroyed. God still loved me. Obviously he always does, but I don't think I prayed. I think I prayed at nighttime with Mackenzie. And the funny thing is, even when I was at my lowest with my relationship with God, I still asked him every night to restore my family. Isn't that crazy? So that faith was still there, but it's so weird. And that was, you know, in my eyes, that was for Kenzie, but in reality, it was me probably grasping. So those are just a couple. And when I say that, they're just a couple, I'm reading the list and they're really, really big. But so one of the, I wanted to quit smoking. I wanted to lose weight. I wanted to restore my relationship with my husband and like with my friends that needed to be in my life. But more importantly, I wanted the strength to get rid of the ones that didn't need to be in my life. Which was, I mean, it's really hard if you've ever tried to break up with a friend. It sucks. And let's see, I'm reading my list. One of the other big, gigantic things was I was on a very nasty pill. And this pill was making me have some seriously bad thoughts. And I'll give you an idea. During this time, I'm helping my daughter plan for her wedding. She had a 3-year engagement. So this wedding was a big deal. We've been waiting, you know, 3 years for this wedding. And I was so unemotionally involved in everything that I couldn't even be happy. Like, you know, she'd show me pictures. I was faking everything, every emotion, every, even if I could somehow conjure up a tear, it was fake. You know, I just didn't have any happiness in me. And I knew it was that medicine at this point. So I needed to get off that drug. And that was a hard one because it's not something you just stop, you know? So am I missing anything?
No.
Okay. So we went through the chart and we worked on all these things. And so what I started doing about 4 days later, I quit smoking. I haven't touched a cigarette since then.
4 days? Wow.
4 days. And this is so stupid, but I literally prayed that God would give me a cold because it would make it easier to quit, you know? And the last time I had tried quitting, I had the flu and I wasn't able to smoke for 2 weeks because I have asthma and it worked. So this time I literally prayed for a cold and I got it. And so I quit smoking, and that was a very big thing because I hadn't been able to do it before. And I quit, and that was over 2 years ago now, and I haven't touched a cigarette since then. And let's see.
That is incredible. Did you just go cold turkey?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Wow. Unreal.
I'm one of those people, like, I'd be skinnier than Kim if I could just not eat. One of those people, if I can go, I just want it out of my life, out of my face. I broke every habit that I used to do, like, you know, to go sit out on my porch and have my morning coffee with a cigarette. Now I don't even, like, I hardly ever go on my porch, but that's okay. I was willing to give that up so that I could, like, have some breathing lung capacity. And then around that same time, I started taking a deeper look in relationship with God. And I knew that was one of the big things that I wanted to change because I had turned my back and I didn't want to be there. But it's not as easy as you think. Like, you can't just go, okay, I'm back with God and, you know, I'm going to live for God. And it definitely isn't that easy. It's almost like you start back at an infant and you have to relearn your faith. And, you know, when I lived in Wisconsin, I had 3 years of training on just really believing and relying on God. And it was like second nature. That wasn't the case anymore. So I really, and I'm still learning that. I think all of us are, but, so I started my walk. Another thing you guys should know is that I am an inverted, what's the word when you just want to stay home all the time?
Well, introvert, recluse.
Introvert, yes. Yeah, I'm inverted. No, that's
shut
when
in.
You have like, yeah, everyone thinks I'm such a people person, but I'm really not. Like, if it were up to me, I would just surround myself with a pillow, not people.
Pillows, not people. Hashtag
yeah.
Pillows.
So anyway, and the reason I'm telling you that is because I never traveled ever. I never wanted to travel. And I think in January of 2017, right, just last year, I flew to Wisconsin 5 times and I did different retreats and, you know, spent time with Kim and her family and all these different things, just things that were so crazy and unimaginable, you know, and I started doing them and that's a whole nother story. God just provided the finances and everything. So that was another big leap. Okay. So the big one, I weaned myself off of Lyrica in July. And to give you an idea, I'm saying the name because I want people to know. If your doctor tries to put you on Lyrica, do a lot of research because I didn't. I was just so desperate to be that I took whatever it took. And I'm telling you, not only did I take it, but I was on the highest milligrams that you can be prescribed. And it's a lot. So this is just a little bit of what I had. I had side effects, which were weight gain. You gain tons of weight. I had gained like 60 pounds, I think it was. Suicidal thoughts, anger, tons of anger. Inability to feel or show emotion, your hands swell, your fingers, your feet swell. I mean, this is just a nasty, nasty drug. And the side effects can last up to 3 years after you come off the drug. So it's a real bad, yeah, it's a nasty, nasty drug. So I like to say I weaned myself off, but I didn't. I did that cold turkey too. I don't recommend that. Please don't do that. This was just, I had reached a point where I wanted it out of my system. We went to my daughter's, we planned this entire getaway weekend for my daughter's bachelorette party. And it was miserable. I was so miserable. And a lot of bad things happened in my life there because of my inability to. And I came home and I threw the bottle away. I went through cold turkey. It was a month. It was a month of torture. My body was on fire. My nerves were, just rejecting my body. Everything was terrible. It was really, really bad. I was crying all the time. I was in bed for a month, to give you an idea. But anyway, so I got over that. That was a very big, big thing.
Wow, Heather, that's unreal.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That alone, talk about a mountain, you know?
It was a big one, but I'll never forget one of the worst times in my life. This really bad thing happened after Lyrica. And even in the midst of that, and I'm saying, when I say bad, I'm talking like on a scale of 1 to 10, it was a 9. It was really, really tragic. And in the middle of that, my son said something to me and I laughed out loud, completely natural for the very first time. And I started laughing and then I started crying because I realized, like, I'm feeling something in the middle of this horrible, tragic tragedy. I'm laughing like a gut laugh. A gut laugh, and it was natural. It was real. It was the first time I had laughed, unconditioned, unmaking myself do it. It was the very first time that I had felt that type of laughter in over 3 years. So it was a real turning point in my life. Yeah, it was so huge. So, all that withdrawal was worth it. Like I said, healthy, don't do it that way. But for me, that was the only way I could do it, and it was awesome. It was the best thing I ever did. And so then right after that, my husband and I had been having a lot of problems. You know, we've been married 29 years, so there's always going to be problems. And one of the things he had begged me to do was to go to marriage counseling, and I had refused for probably a year and a half. And so I decided to go ahead and go to marriage counseling, and then I also started seeing a counselor just for myself, besides Kim, you know. I wasn't paying Kim because
Kim is not a counselor, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Coach.
I just
Kim's
have to make sure that's clear.
Kim's a better counselor than a lot of my counselors. Yeah. So we started doing that and worked on our marriage. And during this time, I was just getting healthier. And I started just doing more and being more aware of, like, what I was eating and what I was putting into my mouth and, you know, just different things. And I remember, I guess about a month after I got off Lyrica, my clothes started getting baggier. And so I got on the scale and I had lost, I wrote it down. I'm doing all the talking. I lost by December of 2016, I had lost 25 pounds. So that was just with getting off that pill.
Wow.
The weight.
That's remarkable.
Yeah. And so by January 2017, this is was a big turning point in my life. I went to Kim, and even this, I have no idea how she convinced me to go, but I went to the Women's Leadership course. Now, you guys have to understand, my goal in life has never been to be a leader. Even if I had a dream of it, I never had the confidence to think I could do it. So I think I convinced myself I was going there to help her. And, you know, like, I could help her. She deserves because she helped me, but it wasn't to me. It wasn't about taking that course. But by the end of that course,
I asked you to come and help me. You think I don't know how you roll?
Yeah,
the only
so,
way
yeah.
I was going to get you there is if I said, I really need your help.
God, that's so true. Yeah. I went in there and I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to help. And oh, man, that was, wouldn't you say that was like the turning point of my life?
For
that
sure.
is what God came and honey, he came in abundance. He did literally knock me down on your bathroom floor. And he had a long talk with me. And I had so many misconceived thoughts of what my life was and what I was called to do. And I was one of these people that the thing that I dreamed about, like as a kid and secretly in my head as an adult, I thought was like a demonic thought because I didn't have the education. I didn't have the ability as far as I knew, and I would enjoy it. And so in my mind, if I enjoyed it, if it was for me, then it was wrong. It couldn't be from God.
Wow.
You know?
Like,
and that
oh,
is a
if
lie.
I would like it, it can't be from God because God just
exactly.
wants us miserable.
Exactly. And I allowed that thought to just consume me my entire life, people. That's
wow.
a lie. If you're there right now thinking, oh, I really would love to do that, but that's a fleshly thought, so it can't. That's a lie. God laid me out on a floor, and he did. And you'll hear that story somewhere else sometime, I'm sure. But, and he flat out told me, why would I give you a calling and make you not want to do it? Why would I tell you not to enjoy it? You know, nobody wants to do something they don't like to do. It's just, he basically said, Heather, you're an idiot, you know, like get off your feet and do what I'm calling you to do. So that, that women's conference changed my life. And I'm telling you, I was there. Oh my gosh. With these amazing, amazing women. And I felt so out of place because they were so well-spoken and they were so beautiful and they were just, they knew everything there was to know about God. And here I am, you know, and I felt so out of place. But by the end of it, I was like, I was one of them. I was called. Mm-hmm. I was called to be a leader. And I was able to believe that. And that was like, that was the beginning of this mountain that I'm climbing.
That just warms my heart so much, you guys. I'm just going to interrupt you to tell them a little snippet from that event. Heather's talking about Fuse Women's Leadership Course. It's a certified course for women only. It's it happens once a year in January. And the first 20 minutes, you know, within the first 30, I have the women. I go through this talk about the seven mountains of cultural influence and how God's chosen vessels, his army is called to these seven mountains. And if we're not in places of influence in the culture, how do we affect the culture, right? And so this isn't us being self-promoting or ladder climbing. This is God putting us in places of influence so that we can change the world, because that's what we're called to do. So
makes
I name the seven mountains and I talk to them about it. And so then, you know, like with again, without a moment's notice or with a moment's notice, like I did to my family, I'm like, okay, everybody get up here and name your mountains. So like the whole room is dazed and confused and deer in the headlights. And Heather was like, oh, like she's in the very back row going, you know, shaking her head. No, like, don't pick me.
No.
And I'm like, Heather, it's your turn, you know? And I mean, it was just such a powerful moment because first of all, she watched and listened to these other women say, okay, I know I'm called to the mountain of family. We all are, right? And so, duh, who's going to argue with that when we're wives and mothers? And then each woman saying, I'm called to education or I'm called to business. And Heather gets up there and she's looking at these seven mountains and she goes, I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud.
Oh, so
she's like, I've never said this out loud in my life. She's like, but I'm going to name my mountain. I believe with all my heart when you named your mountain that morning that tons and tons of, I'll just say bonds broke off of you. Like it was such a powerful moment because you said out loud what you were called to do for the first time.
I
mean, Heather, it was like in the moment you were just doing what I told you to do and it was hard and it was awkward. But I'm telling you, in hindsight, that was the turning point in your destiny.
Yes, I totally agree. Sorry, I'm getting choked up. I thought I said I wasn't going to cry.
So you owned it. And then the day after the conference is when you had your experience with God, when you're like, yeah, but I would really love doing that. So isn't it selfish to want it?
Exactly.
You know,
yeah,
so your big yeah, but was, God, that's so cool, but I would really, really love that. And God's like,
yeah, like I'd enjoy this. I can't be doing this because, you know, it's for me. I'll
selfish.
Be feeding my flesh.
Yeah. Yep.
And
yep.
It's so stupid now when I say it out loud, it sounds like,
no.
Why would God not want you to love what you're doing? It's so stupid.
No, but I love that that's part of your story because we can have such a false sense of, I'll just call it like a religiosity where we think it's wrong to want and it's wrong to have fun. And, you know, it's one of the things I love about Joyce Meyer after, you know, 40 plus years in the ministry. What is the name of her TV show? Enjoying Everyday Life.
Yeah,
I
love it.
Like after 40 years of walking with God, her prevailing message, and she does not compromise scripture and she does not compromise obedience to the word of God.
Right.
But her prevailing message is, listen, you were made to live a fulfilled, enjoyable life.
Exactly. Your heart's desire is God's desire. We just, yes. we put those, you know, locks on our thoughts yeah. and stuff. I mean, yeah. I had so many excuses why I shouldn't put myself out there, why I should, because, you know, well, I don't have the education. I can't talk. I can't even remember what I, you know, my name is half the time. This is not meant to be. And, you know, yeah, Kim thinks I'm funny, but Kim loves me. Not everybody in this world thinks, you know, a lot of people think I'm just obnoxious. And it's true, I am. But you know what I'm saying? All of these lies, maybe not lies in that case, but, you know, all these things that had been burning me.
But listen, the second day of the Women's Leadership course, we walked into the training room and I go, by the way, you're opening for me today. Because you named your mountain, so let's get you going here. You know, I didn't say that second part. I just said, by the way, you're opening for me.
I said,
what?
Do it.
She goes, what? And she goes, no, I'm not. I said, yes, you are. And she goes, I can't do that. I said, yes, you can. And she's like, what am I supposed to do? I said, I would really like for you to just kind of sum up what we did yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, just be.
As always, no script. Just talk, Heather. Just talk.
I said, just sum up yesterday, and you can share personal, like how it impacted you. But, you know, just give us a recap. Like, they don't want to hear that from me. I've been blathering on and on for 8 hours already. Like, let them hear from you. So she gets up and she says this, like, yesterday was, you know, this is what, and she's full of passion. And then she tells the story of a moment she had with God when she had to sit down and do this forgiveness exercise. And she's like choked up. And I'm telling you, all I did was watch the crowd. Okay. So I'm up front with her kind of off to the side. So I have a bird's eye view of the ladies. And while Heather is talking, they're laughing. They're crying. There was not a dry eye in the joint when she was done. I mean, I just was like, okay, you had them eating out of the palm of your hand in 5 minutes.
Oh, gosh. I think she's exaggerating a tad
no,
bit.
No, I'm
but...
not. And I was like, okay, that was totally amazing. You're going to be my opener from here on out. And she's like, what? You know, and then so then it was about a month or two later. I said, hey, I really feel led to ask you to co-host Coffee with Kim. What? She was like, I can't do that. Are you kidding me? I'm like, why can't you? Oh, and I said, listen, you keep me real and you bring something I don't bring. They need you. I need you. The listeners need you. And again, I kind of just like put this in her lap and she just had to take a leap. But she took the leap.
I did. And the funny thing is, I had always had a dream. I used to always joke with my kids. We would listen to this DJ when I drive them to school in the mornings. And I always used to say, I want to be on that show. I would be so good at that. I love that. You know, so God is so funny. I don't know if Kim ever even wanted a radio show. For all I know, he gave her this so that I could live my dream out. I don't know. But it's hilarious. And then when people write in and say, you know, oh, your laugh is contagious and stuff, I'm just so blessed because I'm like, when I listen to it back, all I hear is a loud voice that laughs a lot, you know. But people have actually written in and said, you know, your laughter just brightens my day. And I'm like, because my mom is like, Heather, you laugh too much. Stop laughing. And I'm like, I wish I could. Shout out to Mom. Hi,
shout
Mom
out to Eileen. We love you, Eileen.
But you
we
know,
really do.
So, yeah, I do. I love my mom. I love my dad. I love you too, Dad, but you're not listening, so no. Yeah, so yeah, Kim's real good at pushing me out there.
So 2017, you started the year with this course that completely changed the trajectory of your life.
Yes.
You got on the radio a couple of months later. You know, what are some other things you've done in 2017 that you wrote down and executed that you can't even believe you've done?
Oh, my word. There's so many things. The biggest one, of course, would be since I was 10 years old, I always had this dream of one day writing a book. And I write all the time. You guys, nobody, and I don't even think Kim knew this, because when I met her, she'd always said, one day I'm going to write a book. And I, you know, probably never said anything, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, well, I've already written 3 or 4 or 10 because I love to write. But, you know, once again, I just lied to myself all the time. Like, you don't have the education. You don't, you know, you're not good at grammar, blah, blah, blah. Just so many reasons why I shouldn't do it. And Kim came to me and she told me, I really feel like God wants you in this book. And I even know what I think he wants you to write about. And I'm like, no, Kim, I just can't do it. You know, I don't think I'm good enough. And she's like, well, just maybe think about it, pray about it. So I did. And it took, what, like 3 months to get, I prayed and prayed and I talked with my husband and, you know, and we decided to go for it. And I went for it. And oh my goodness, it was so amazing. Like, you know, the feedback I got and, you know, just even the editor, I was terrified to turn my manuscript in because I just could only imagine, you know, she said, expect it to look like a rhinoceros was killed on your paper. There's going to be so many red marks. But Kim put it in perspective for me. She was like, Heather, write like a writer and let the editor do the editing. You don't need, because it was, you know, that was my whole thing. What if I don't spell? I'm a terrible speller. Don't spell well at all. And, you know, I was really concerned about that. But even when the editor had my paper, she actually gave me compliments on my writing. And I was like, you know, well, granted, she probably needs to do that. But either way, it meant a lot to me, you know. And she complimented like my, it was so funny. Like, I love the style you chose in this bubble gun. I'm like, yeah, that's called Heather style. Because I have no idea about literary style. And, you know, it was just, it was not only like the biggest thing I did in 2017 because it was a dream. It was the accomplishment. It was getting it done. And my goal for 2017, I told Kim, was to follow through. I wanted to be a woman of God. I wanted to be a person people could count on. If I say I'm going to do something, I want to do it. And I want to say I'll do it with a heart that I'm doing what God wants me to do. That was hard for me for many years. Even if I wanted to do it, sometimes I just could not do it. And Kim said something at the women's leadership course, and I'm like, that's the woman I want to be. I want to follow through. So even with the radio show, I didn't come right out and say yes because she said it's a, you know, it's going to be a commitment. You can't just not show up. And I'm not saying that I normally don't just show up, but I have a lot of responsibilities at home. So, you know, it was something I knew if I commit to this, I have to get it. I also have a very supportive family too. I should say that because
yes,
I'm 48 years old and I'm
best of
starting my career. Yeah. I came home at 47. I'm like, guess what? God wants me to be an entertainer and I'm going to start traveling and writing books. And, you know, and my family, like nobody laughed. They totally encouraged me when I couldn't make it to the book signing. My husband actually sent out a message and all these wonderful women made films for me to watch. And they set my house up like a book signing party and they had my family there. It was so sweet. So anyway, that by far is the biggest thing, but it taught me, like, I was able to write a chapter, honestly, with no problem. God has, and I can say this without feeling like I'm boasting now, God did give me a gift of writing. He gave me that ability to do it. So why am I not doing it? And, you know, it's amazing. I know.
And you've also
started
a blog and you have your own website. And
I did.
All these
and that has been a dream
that...
of mine. Yeah. And the blog, like my real commitment in 2018 is to make sure I get that up and running because I haven't even posted the first one yet. But I decided I really prayed about it too. And it was a decision that we made that I want to start it after I go to the women's leadership course because I really feel like I'll get a lot. Yeah. So that the blog will start in February. And then my goal is to post at least twice a month. But I think
Wonderful.
It'll be fun because it's called All I Know Is. And once again, God got me alone in the shower. That's where he talks to me, people. And he, you know, I was like, God, just please tell me what is my gift? What do you want me to do? And I didn't hear anything. So I was like, well, all I know is, and then it was like lightning hit me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's all I know is I'm going to write a blog. I see a book. I think there's going to be a book and it's going to be, you know, all I know is kind of that.
And the book will be full of Heatherisms.
All Heatherisms, yeah.
Okay, awesome. I just love listening to all that you've done and how you've gotten so far out of your comfort zone, like more than anyone else I can think of late.
You guys have no idea.
And she still likes me, you guys. That's kind of miraculous.
I love her.
Tell our listeners what your word is for 2018 and why. What does it mean?
Okay, So with all these things that were done, you guys need to know when I came home from the Women's Leadership Conference in January, mind you, I was like, yes, I'm ready to go. Let's do this. Let's go, go, go. And God was like, wait. That was my word. If 2017 had a word, it would have been wait, watch, and listen. So I was like, no, I don't want to wait. I know. Come on, let's go. I want to go. I want to climb my mountain. No. I mean, to the point where like my create, I usually have like, I don't know, my mind doesn't stop. I have this creative flow when some, especially Kim, when she says she's going to do something, I'm like, oh, I know what you should do. Boom, 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 boom. None of that for me. None whatsoever. So I was kind of crushed, but now I realized, you know, that that was my word, wait. And this year in the shower, once again, there's definitely a pattern here. I was praying and actually it was two showers. This is so funny. So my word is leap, L-E-A-P for the year in 2018. My word is leap. I watched, I waited, I listened, and now I get to leap and I'm actually excited about it. And I think that's why he gave me a year of waiting so that I could actually be ready for the leap. But then a couple days later on January 7th, I took a shower and God kind of explained to me what leap means. So the L stands for listen, learn, and then lead, which I like because now I feel like maybe I can. The E stands for education and then educate and get excited. So I thought those were cool. And then A stands for apply, learn abilities, use abilities, and attitude. Have that positive attitude and know that my gifts are from me and I want you to use these. And then the P, I love the P. The P stands for praise, and he's going to give me my promises and he wants me to promote. I don't know if it means promote you, Kim, or me, but promote, yeah. So
that's hilarious. I love that God gave you the acronym, not just the word. How cool is that?
And that's something I never do. You know that. I'm not like one of those, oh, look, it's a sentence. And I'm just not one of those people. So trust me when I say it was from God. And it was coming so hard and fast. I was like, Lord, if this is you, you have to let me remember because I'm in the shower and I'm never going to remember in time to get it written down. But he gave them to me. And I'm actually excited, guys. That's the difference. If he had given me that word in 2017, I never would have been able to, you know, accomplish that. So I'm excited. I'm leaping and Kim is pushing hard. So it's a good thing.
I'm so excited for you, my friend. I just am in awe of what God has done in your life in these last couple of years and how, you know, you had these goals and you had deadlines and you accomplished them. When you set out to write down those goals with me on your birthday, about how long, first of all, did you accomplish everything you wrote down?
I did. Yeah. Everything that we wanted to improve. And it was a list of like 17 things, I think. I don't know. I have it in front of me and I wrote eight, but no, I didn't. That's your list. Sorry. No, I don't know. I think it was like 17 things. Yeah. At least I had a list in my
hand. And it took you about how long?
Roughly almost two, it was like a year and a half, almost 2 years. Okay. But the biggest thing that I want everyone today to understand is it wasn't like I had a checklist and like, oh, I did this, I did this, I did this. I was going through, it's kind of like, you know, how I always tell Kathy, she's a butterfly. It was kind of like a metamorphosis of, you know, getting rid of the old and stepping into the new. So there was a lot to be done. There was a lot of work. And even stupid things, like I even wrote down, okay, my daughter's getting married. I want to grow my hair out because I normally have short hair. And, you know, it was just a stupid goal, but I did it. I accomplished it. And I, what I want to encourage everybody to do is don't write a list that's going to discourage you. Write a goal down that will encourage you to do your goal because it's not going to happen overnight and it shouldn't have a time limit. As long as you can look at it on a weekly, monthly basis and see some improvement towards that walk, that's what you want to do because, I mean, we are all masterpieces. God says in the Bible that we are his masterpiece. So you're perfect already. Now you're just trying to, like, you know, polish that diamond. And you don't need to discourage yourself like I did. I spent, 47 years telling myself that I wasn't good enough. And that's crap. I am God's child. I'm totally good enough. And he's got great plans for me. I'm 48 years old and I am just now starting a career. I mean, come on. If I can do it, anyone in this world can do anything they want. So yep. I don't let it discourage, make it encourage. That's my goal Amen. For you guys.
Amen. Well, and part of what can be discouraging when you write your goals is when they're unrealistic, right?
Exactly. Yes.
And the other thing is if you look at these goals and you're like, if I don't do exactly this in X number of days, then I'm a failure. No. If I set a goal to help, let's say, 1,000 women, and I take action on that, and I only help 500, am I a failure?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, come on,
You are 500 women stronger. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So again, back to perspective, when we set these goals, if I did anything more than I would have done prior to writing this down, I'm a success.
And that is the attitude that if I encourage anyone to do anything, that is what I want you to do. I want you to take your goals, make them something, first of all, that is attainable. Don't be stupid. I want to go to the moon. Well, chances are you're not going to the moon. So let's take that right off the books and put something else. But like even weight loss, I have done so many things to try to lose weight, and I have mutilated my body in the process to where I'm actually malnourished, even though I'm still overweight. All in the name of trying to get this weight off, but I'm losing it now, like all year long. My doctor joked, he goes, you're the only woman I know that's come in every year and actually lost, 12 pounds or this. So, I've been trying to lose weight for 2 years, but I'm down 45 pounds. And that is an improvement from where it was,
Woo-hoo!
Doing it slow, whatever. But the biggest thing I can tell you is walk baby steps, but keep walking. When you look back, watch the improvement. Even if it's one little step, it's a step forward. Make sure you have that mentality, because your mind will be the one to destroy you if you don't. You have to see improvement. You have to realize, Laura Landon has that song Closer, and I love it because it's like, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm closer than I was. And that is how you have to look at it.
Amen.
That would be my...
Oh.
Yes.
I have goosies. It's such a perfect message to start our year. Just A, all things are possible. B, just keep walking, keep moving.
Amen.
Baby steps are totally acceptable. Totally.
Absolutely. I love baby steps.
What's not acceptable is not moving at all, is staying still,
exactly.
Staying static, or being on the bench. Get into the race. Even if it's like, go out to a 5K and half the people are running and half the people are walking.
Right, but they're doing it, which is more than we're doing standing in the line watching.
Exactly. they've all said yes to the race. That's the hardest part, is saying yes to the race and then showing up. Actually running the day of or walking the day of is not hard at all.
Right, exactly. And some people don't even realize that they can do it, and that's the barrier I want to break. Because I was one of those people, I used to look at Kim and honestly, I'd be like, I love what she's doing. I want to be one of those people that are on that stage encouraging people. I used to go to these, inspirational speakers and all this. And I would, instead of listening to what they're saying, I would honestly fantasize, but I want to be on that stage. I want to encourage these people. But I was telling myself, no, I'll never be Kim. I'll never be Kim. And guess what? God doesn't want me to be Kim. We already have a Kim. And he literally had to spell this out for me. Like, Kim is Kim and Kim is good, but nobody wants you to be Kim. And that is a fact, because I couldn't be Kim if I wanted to. But some people can relate to Heather, and that's why I made you the way you are. And learning that was very hard, but it's very practical and it makes sense.
Yes.
Anybody can work for God. God gave all of us the ability to glorify him. And I'm telling you, if you do nothing else in your growth this year, start a relationship with God. Start talking to him on a daily basis. And just notice, the days you talk to him, I promise you, will be better than the days you don't.
Amen. Oh,
amen.
Good word, girl. Well, thanks. Since you have it going on, I was hoping that you would share our health tip of the show today with our audience, since you have overcome so many physical, emotional, spiritual obstacles in the last couple of years. What would you say, Heather, is your best health tip today for our listeners?
Well, I do actually have one, and I thought about this because obviously I am not a health nut like Miss Kim. But I want to go back real quick and tell you why I have this. One of the big, big things that I had to overcome was I had toxic relationships in my life that continued to hurt me. And for whatever reason, I just had a hard time setting boundaries, you know, and I think a lot of it was because I just didn't value myself. And I need to. And one of the things, Kim spoke about this at one of her things, and I remember hearing it, and for some reason it hit me so hard, is if I don't value myself, then how are my daughters going to learn to value themselves? And how are people going to value me if I don't have it? So I would say my health tip of the week or the year, the lifetime, is value yourself. Take care of yourself. Do for yourself and treat yourself like you have value. So there you're teaching your daughters and your sons and your everybody, you know, that you, if you love other people, take care of yourself so you'll be around for them so that you can show them what they should be doing and how they can do it. So I didn't have value. And therefore, a lot of people around me didn't treat me like I had value. Matter of fact, wow. They treated me and they walked all over me. And like relationships were a real scary thing for me because I got hurt a lot. So my word is value. Value yourself. Take care of yourself. Go to the doctor on a regular basis. If you have, treat yourself. Get your nails done. Do your toes. Show your kids that you are worth. You're a princess. You know, you wear a crown. You are a child of God, and you deserve that crown. So take care of yourself and teach them to take care of themselves too. I'm late to the game, but trust me, I'm starting to do it.
Amen, girl. Wow. Well, Heather, you have given our listeners just a gold mine. As I promised, you definitely delivered on my promise. So many nuggets in there. And if each of you listeners only takes one thing away, you have been thoroughly blessed. So we'd love to hear from you in our Coffee with Kim group. And tell us what Heather said today that really stuck with you. What resonated with you? What action are you going to take? Action are you going to take in 2018? It could be something totally different than, you know, something Heather did, but it's something you know you need to take action on to get further along in your journey with God and in your own personal destiny. If you guys aren't sure what the next steps are, reach out to us in our Coffee with Kim group. We'd love to help you. And just know that in 2018, we're so grateful for our Coffee with Kim listeners. We want to serve you in more and better ways. So stay tuned to see how our Coffee with Kim community can be a greater blessing in your life. We love you guys. And I love you, Miss Heather.
I love you too, Kimmy.
Well, have a wonderful day, Miss Heather. We're going to sign off now, y'all.
Okay, love you guys. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook. And you can also go to, go check my blog out. Go to allinowis.net, and it'll have all that things. And you can go to KimberlyJoyKrieger.com also to check us out. So we love you guys.
We love you. Bye, Miss Heather.